Our guest today is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a Source Reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. This is Deanna, and this is our second hour. We will take your calls at 800-313-9443 after the next break. Carl, you referred to the swastikas on synagogues and the aggressiveness of the Jews in New York just before we went to the break. Do a lot of these things that happen, the desecration at synagogues and Jewish cemeteries, are those in fact often carried out by the Jews themselves?
Nearly always, actually. When you look at these cases, as I've begun to, you find that the supposed Nazis or anti-Semites or what have you, have this remarkable knowledge of where, for example, the rabbi lives. Now I live near to some major Jewish neighborhoods, but I don't even know where the rabbis live. I haven't got a clue where the rabbis live. Only local Jews would know where the rabbis live, because there's no sort of sign outside of a Hasid's house saying, I'm a rabbi, or no, I'm a Talmid Hacham, literally a Torah scholar, and so forth. Or the synagogues, for example, they always draw the swastikas around the wrong way. And I think someone at a forum I frequent pointed out something quite interesting regarding this, when he said that if you think about it, Jews write right to left, so it's quite natural they would do this. But for someone who is, you know, drawing a swastika normally, it's always represented to be the right way up for us, because we write left to right. But to them, they just inverted it to be according to their writing style. And that's quite a clever observation, I thought, in that you very rarely see them when they're actually the right way or in any way done in any kind of sort of way that you kind of expect. And you also find that they never seem to catch the people responsible, ever. When they have, they've almost invariably been Jews. I mean, there was that famous case, I think it was in New York University, was it Columbia or New York? I can't remember which. But at a dorm where a Jewish girl was scrawling swastikas all over her door. And she was complaining about it, saying, you know, all this anti-Semitism, all these Jewish organizations jumped on it. And you had mass media coverage, and you know about, you know, how terrible is anti-Semitism in the United States today. And then two days later, because the university decided, okay, well let's put up cameras, let's see what's going on here, secret cameras. Sorry, and they found out this girl was doing it herself, and she was forced to stand in front of a camera and admit the fact she had done this. And of course, the statement that was read out was, "Oh, she was doing it to raise awareness of anti-Semitism." Now, hang on a minute. Now, you're the one who was claiming you were being victimized, but you're doing it to raise awareness of you being victimized. Okay, so how does that work then? It's invariably true. I mean, I remember my wife was at Macy's about 2-3 years ago, and she understands quite good Hebrew, despite not being Jewish, and she was sitting in the shoe section, and she overheard two Jewesses talking, and what they were talking about was making Aliyah, making the journey to Israel and living in Israel. And one just said, "Well, why should I go to Israel? We've got a Jewish mayor and a Jewish governor. You know, it is Israel."
Whoa. All righty. Okay, we do have to take a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes, and then we'll take some phone calls.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling. And with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days? And keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee. And it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet. And we guarantee the results in writing. Call now. 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Today is Carl Rattle, the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com, and we will take calls at 800-313-9443. And Joe, one of our listeners, responded that it was George Washington University that this young Jewish woman put all these swastikas all over the dorm. So, and talking about mass media coverage, what do you think about the Nazi march in Skokie in 77-78? Are you familiar with that?
I'm sort of familiar with it. I've heard of it. I really haven't studied it in any detail. I mean, I just view it as kind of pointless, because what would possibly be achieved by that, by marching and annoying? Okay, it would slightly annoy some Jews, okay, but it gives them all the ammunition they could possibly need to say, oh, look, there we are, we're being threatened, we need hate speech, we need anti-hate speech laws now, kind of thing. And if you did that today, for example, they'd be all over it. And indeed they are. Whenever something like that happens, it's the first thing they do. They'll crawl all over it, represented as you know, the rise of, you know, some kind of problem, and then call immediately for laws again for laws to incrementally increase the sort of the power that they have, the ability they have to attack people they regard as more effective. For example, if they want to go after critics in academia who are anti-Zionists, So the latest thing has been, and through a man named Charles Small, who's a Canadian professor, who worked at Princeton until until Yale closed down his unit on anti-Semitism. Supposedly, according to Small, because he was being too effective, but Yale had doubts as to its scholarly integrity. And they pointed out that Small basically argues that any form of anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism because Israel is a Jewish state, therefore any criticism of Israel is criticism of Jews, and therefore it is because Israel operates on a biological basis of who is Jewish and who is not, that you're being anti-Semitic. Effectively, that is his argument. So they're trying to get a situation in place where they can get rid of any critic they have in academia, or basically of anything Jewish. The latest one they've been attacking is Kevin McDonald out in California, and his writing on the Jewish question from the perspective of an evolutionary psychologist, and the fact that McDonald himself has agreed that the more you study Jews, the more you don't like them. You kind of come into it as someone who thinks, these people seem interesting. And then you either do one of two things. Either you sort of toe the party line and say, how horrible the Jews were, so persecuted. Or you say, well, these people are vile. You know, these people get everywhere. They're vile. They will not accept any criticism of themselves whatsoever, and indeed if you say one bad word about them, they will attack you fairly brutally. And in the case of Norman Finkelstein, who of course himself is Jewish, he had Alan Dershowitz all but destroy him academically at DePaul, or is it Notre Dame? Whereby Dershowitz wrote a literal email to the man who was to decide whether Finkelstein got tenure or not, basically threatening him with a lawsuit if he did. The fact that kind of operation is what they really are after doing. They're not so much interested in the American Nazi Party's effectiveness. There are some Jews, and there's one website, Never Again Is Now, which claims that because the American Nazi Party exists, there is going to be another Holocaust in America in the next 10 years. Don't ask me how that works. But
interesting. It was a Jew who led that march in Skokie. Yes.
I sort of heard that on the side, but I didn't know it was actually true. Was it wasn't James Madol, was it?
No. Something like that. It was Frank Collin, and his his birth name was Cohn, Cohn. And he infiltrated the Nazi Party in Arlington, Virginia, and learned how to do really good propaganda, came back here and started a movement and spent 3 years getting all this wonderful press coverage. And his group was relatively small, and it was all designed to benefit the Jews.
Yes. I mean, it's the only way you can swing it, really. You can't. I mean, he himself must have been... He must have believed that in doing so he was doing what in his best interest. I mean, he obviously probably benefited financially from doing so, from the sheer fact that he had all these followers and all this press coverage and the massive ego trip of being I'm on the news, I'm important, that kind of thing. He's so stereotypically Jewish, it's unbelievable. The kind of thing of I'm gonna show myself up as being this wonderful figure in world history by getting on a stage and shouting, it's the kind of thing that they get hysterical about, and they love doing it. I mean, if you've ever seen some of the Israeli television, that's effectively what it is most of the time in terms of news broadcast. It's a Jew on a stage shouting at another Jew who then shouts back, and they have a very, very long shouting match at each other, ending in each other calling themselves anti-Semites on different logic. It's quite bizarre. And you sit there and go, okay. I mean, there was a great debate in the 1980s between Alan Dershowitz and Rabbi Meir Kahn, They're both extreme Zionists, but both of them were just talking about, you know, oh, yes, we must as Jews win. But all they did was represent two very different positions, and both of them were not, both of them were very sort of critical of each other. They refused to give each other any ground. And it's just, when you see two Jews debate, it is like watching two rabbis. Because they won't concede any ground. They will invent an argument if what's said doesn't actually agree or semi-agrees with them. Because to do so, to suggest that yes, I agree with you, often means okay, well, who has priority, me or you? I want to have priority, so I'm going to disagree with you and show that you're wrong, even though in my belief system you're right. A great example of that is in the Barcelona disputation, what we call of the 14th century, between a great Jewish sage called Nachmanides, who is called he's called Ramban, not to be confused with Maimonides, who is called Rambam. It's N rather than M. Where he was debating a Jewish convert to Christianity called Pablo Cristiani, who used all of Nachmanides' arguments against him. So Nachmanides immediately used the arguments of the Kehlite sect that Nachmanides had spent 20 years arguing against to attack Pablo Cristiani, full well knowing that in doing so he was lying about his own positions and Judaism as he believed it. Being the reasoning being, oh, I disagree with you, but I cannot be contradicted, because if you're right, then I'm shown up to be wrong, and if I'm wrong, I'm no longer the great sage that people think I am. It's this kind of, you know, I take no prisoners, I'm going to have a fight with whoever it is attitude that really defines Jewish political, social, philosophical, and historical sort of views. You just see, the Jews even have words for it when they talk about the idea of schmoozing. It's the idea of getting someone to do something without having an argument, without in Yiddish hondeling, as in negotiating. You're not negotiating or haggling with someone over a point, a good, or what have you, because essentially to a Jew, an idea is basically merchandise. It's not, shall we say, it's not, you know, their true belief in many respects. It's what they at the moment perceive to be in their best interests, to either purport or to that future is what they regard as best for them individually, because if that future is sort of comes about, they'll become a great figure in history, they'll be remembered, and everyone will listen to them, kind of thing. And it's that kind of dynamic that I believe works in Jewry a lot more than a lot of people tend to look at them as a kind of conglomerate. I tend to look at them as a bunch of individualists who come together at certain times in certain places and take advantage of each other for their own individual interests, but they sort of identify with each other's interests when it is in their own individual interest to do so. For example, being the fact that the Holocaust organizations are routinely fighting each other. You had that massive fight between the Bellenbaum organization and the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, and among others, and Yad Vashem, who were all debating as to whether or not one particular group of Jews should be getting any compensation or historical credit. And they got to the point where I believe they even started suing each other over it.
Gosh.
And you sit and you just go, this is a bunch of rabbis arguing. Or it's like, whereas when one recent scholar on Karl Marx wrote, when you read Marx, you're reading a rabbi.
that's true. I mean, his father and his grandfather were both rabbis. All righty, we do have to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll take Rich from Washington. Be right back in 3 minutes.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. And using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Carl Rattle. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. And we have Rich from Washington on line two. Welcome to the program, Rich.
Good morning. I've been listening for the last 2 days, and most of the information has been for recent history. And I'm basing my question on a book called, by Robert Audrey called The Territorial Imperative, A Personal Inquiry into the Animal Origins of Property and Nations. And my thinking is, and I'm trying to understand where we came to the word Jew, and I wondered if your guest had gone back in the history. As I look at it, it seems to me that the tribes of the Jews and the Catholic Christians and the Muslims were created by the Romans to kind of create a divide and conquer perspective. In reality, the true tribe of Judah was destroyed when they destroyed the temple. The Roman army surrounded it, and then the last remaining members of the tribe were committed suicide in Masada. So that means the only surviving remnant of that kind of a Jewish perspective was the temple, the secondary temple that was built in Egypt and was more a mystical religion. So my perspective is that Jews are a self-professed tribe, much like the Mormons, and they keep themselves going because they practice the Mishnah, which means they have an oral tradition that they constantly repeat, and they bring that down through the ages. So I was just wondering about a comment on that.
A couple of problems with that. One, the Mishnah comes from, okay, the 2nd century BC, so 2nd century AD, whereby the rabbis had begun to write down all their rulings and ideas after Titus made made Judaism illegal, and you had Hadrian came in and basically wiped them out. Dating the death of the Jews back to the first Jewish revolt, which is what you're referring to, I believe, and Masada, is kind of problematic as well, because it ignores the fact that we have large amounts of Jews in Rome, we have large amounts of Jews in North Africa, as you said, in Egypt. I don't believe there's any reason to suggest that the religion that was in Alexandria was much different from that which was in Palestine at the time, particularly because in the second Jewish revolt, you'll note that the rabbis of the Temple of Jerusalem had sufficient pull with the Alexandrians, the Roman Jews, the Jews of Cyrene, the Jews of Spain, that they managed to get them to rise up together. And of course, a sort of unstated element in that is that the Jews from the temple sent all the temple funds to Cyprus so that they could be used centrally, but also wouldn't be subject to a Roman attack, as had occurred in the first Jewish revolt when they, as you said, broken into the temple and burned it down. As to where the term Jew comes from, it's usually, as you say, linked to the tribe of Judah. But at the same time, the Jews are very much an identified people of their own. They themselves came up with the label as probably the unifying way of describing themselves just before the Romans began sort of moving in that area. So the Herodians, the Hasmoneans, kind of began to use that term, the idea of the covenanted people of, you know, who are combined by all the tribes, to kind of unify all these different groups that you had under what we now call the Ages of the Jews. And by the time that the Romans and Greeks really came into the area, you have this people who were self-identifying as Jews, but still had strong regional biases. So, for example, the famous case that Jesus may not have been Jewish due to the fact that he was a Galilean, and Galileans were regarded as not Jewish by purists, and so on and so forth. It's that kind of situation you've got to deal with. I'm not so sure. I mean, I don't know, where are you getting the idea that Egyptian religion, the Egyptian version of Judaism, was more mystical, precisely because you've got people like Philo of Judaeus, who was writing on the subject just about sort of the same time just before the Jewish revolt. And I don't detect in him anything that's particularly different from the Judaism that we see in Palestine at the time. So I was just wondering where you kind of came up with the idea of the more mystical Judaism of Alexandria.
Well, it seemed like the people practicing in Palestine and Jerusalem at that temple were primarily zealots. We're looking for a overcoming by a Messiah for the Roman army, whereas those in Egypt were practicing along with the Egyptians and more a sun god worshiping type of practice that mm-hmm. they kept their tribal identity, but they still existed along with the sun worshiping Egyptians. And you, from what you said, you've kind of supported my point. Most of the strength of this tribal system began in response to the Roman collapse, if you want to call it that, and became a kind of divide-and-conquer interaction between them all the way down through the Crusades. And now what we have are this, like I said, kind of an inbreeding sociopathic tribe that gets its strength by, as you say, perpetuating their own viewpoint of their existence.
Yep.
All righty, gentlemen, we do have to cut to a break. Excuse me. Rich, you're welcome to stay on over the break. We will be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy, but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks? Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
You know, babe, I've got to say, there's a whole passel of reasons I'm happy we bought our seed bank from Texas Ready.
Really?
Yeah, the one that makes me happiest is our salsa garden. Onions, jalapenos, fantastic tomatoes, cilantro.
I know, dear. You couldn't survive without your salsa.
Folks, Texas Ready helps you to thrive, not merely survive. Multiple kinds of heirloom tomatoes, onions, and peppers. Plus non-GMO corn, beans, peas, and vegetable varieties out the wazoo. With over 75 varieties, each Liberty Seed Bank has enough fruit, herbs, and vegetables to enable you to grow well over 2,000 pounds of food in your subdivision backyard each year. Order your bank today at TexasReady.net or come visit us at Glenn Beck's Restoring Love Conference July 26th and 27th. We'll be set up near the registration tables at the Arlington Sheraton. Go to TexasReady.net for more information. See you there.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Carl Rattle. And Rich, you equated the Mormons with the Jews. Could you elaborate on that so that Carl could address that issue?
Well, it seems to me that we as tribal beings, which our humans seem to be, we're not herd animals per se because mm-hmm. we have a higher intelligence. We're more tribal. We get together and interact on a conscious level. It seems to me that we have a person that forms a group. That group achieves some self-identity, and then it kind of inbreeds and perpetuates that self-identity, and that gives it strength. And then what we have later on down the line is we have a bunch of infighting between the different tribes. And it seems to me by labeling and creating this tribal system, we're actually being part of the problem rather than part of the solution.
Well, at the same time, I'd say the fundamental issue with that is we're dealing with a biological unit. In that if we're dealing with a tribal system, as you say, which I agree we are, we must realize that they are themselves a biological unit. There's about three of them in total. There's the Shepherd, the Sephardim, the Mizrahim, and the Ashkenazim, all of whom are quite closely related, but nevertheless, if you look at the genetics, they're genetically clustered apart from each other. That their biology informs their actions. Because it informs their actions on a tribal level, you can only, you can't treat their identity as a kind of an abstract. You have to treat it as being a kind of something rooted in themselves in much the same way as you have to, as you would differentiate between a Thompson's or a Hunter's gazelle. because although they might look like you in many cases, they are nevertheless very different when it comes down to actual genotype rather than phenotype. If you see my point.
Well, I do, and that is a great point. What it seems to be their strength is they're a very strong merchant class that educates themselves to be merchants and then gains their strength by supporting themselves as merchants. And how they get into a social interaction is they use that strength and turn it against whichever tribe they interact with. And we have to just recognize that and not allow them, quote unquote, to use their strength against whichever tribe they're going into.
Yes, you have to fight them as well as where they're weakest, where they're strongest. And I think the weakness of the Jews has always been they overreach. They have no conception of moderation as far as I can see. They're an extreme people. They don't seem to go in for any sort of moderation. They're extreme, you know, when you're dealing with like pornography, you find sex, you find Jews in pornography everywhere. You find, when you're dealing with politics, you find Jews in every political persuasion, high up, you know, all at the same time, you know, very conscious that they are Jews. It's just,
well, that seems to be a follow up of the line of power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. When they find strength in something, they take that to the extreme, and that's why I compare it to something like Mormonism. You know, you get an inbreeding kind of tribal situation that builds on their strength, and that extreme is basically destructive.
Yes, it's basically as you say, it's a very destructive evolutionary trend. If you think about it, isn't it?
Oh, well, that's it. That's why I kind of mentioned Audrey. You know, if you read that perspective, you look at, you know, we're basically our own enemies, and we start creating a situation that we fight and destroy ourselves in the long-term perspective. Anyway, thanks for the information. I appreciate your feedback.
Thank you, Rich.
That's quite interesting.
All righty, let's take Dan in Texas. Dan, welcome to the program.
Deanna, Carl, I didn't mean to ask this when I called, but y'all mentioning it. I was married to a Mormon family for 14 years, and they did believe that they were a tribe of Israel that migrated here by boat some time back, and they also believed that Jesus came to North America to visit them when he was alive on the planet. Now, what I had called about was Carl's take on three quick questions. In the sense of Caucasian, Afrikaner, Asiatic as being racial divisions, is being Jewish a race?
No. The weird thing about race is that you need to understand it in terms of biology. A lot of work on race tends to be working abstracts, and because of the fact that historically the word race, which comes by way from dogs, dog breeding, is actually used to represent countries, not biological groups per se. However, there's about five to six races in the world that can be identified and can be used. You've got Negroes, Khoisan, Caucasoids, Americanids, Mongoloids, and Australoids, that's the other one, all of which are quite different from each other, and any physical anthropologist can basically identify one on sight. A biological anthropologist can tell from basic genetic tests, and any doctor will tell you that in order for you to have a blood transaction, they need to know what race you are. With Jews are Caucasoids, so as a rule. They're Caucasoids, but they're a different subgroup of Caucasoids. So in race, you have specific smaller groups. You have groups of that clusters within that mem. You have, for example, Caucasoids go from Norway to India. And Jews tend to sort of, they cluster in with the Palestinians, with the Saudis, with, to an extent, the Iranians, and they also show up quite closely to the Greeks, even though there's actually a reason for that.
Okay, so although they're caucasoid, as opposed to, say, a Swedish type, a Norwegian type, back in the time of the 12 tribes and Joseph, they'd have looked more Arab than Scandinavian.
Yes.
Now, my next question, that final question, Carl, is your take on this business of the Merovingian Jew theory and that Jesus and Mary married and had children, and I'll listen to that on air. I really appreciate your last 2 days.
It's great. The only thing I was going to mention about the Jews as a good group, just before I go on to Merovingians quickly, was that you might want to look up the Cohen modal haplotype, which is a genetic marker which can be used to positively identify anybody who has ever had any priestly Jewish blood in them, because it's unique to that. And there's also a Levi modal haplotype with the same thing. As to the Merovingians and Jesus and Mary turning to France, I don't really put much faith in that. I started out life, before I became interested in the Jewish question, as a skeptic. One of the interests I had was in things like this, where you get a theory that that Jesus and Mary married. Okay, well, we have no proof of that. That's the problem. The best you can do for theory is say, okay, they went to France because a local folk tale said they did, which doesn't really, if you know any folklore, there's all sorts of rumors. The example, you go anywhere, any country in Europe, you'll find things like Lot's Mound, you'll find Noah's Ark references in local places, and that kind of thing. It's basically, it's a myth. It's just one of these local myths that sort of sprung up because people want to associate their country with Mary, Jesus, and so forth. I've never seen the evidence they actually married. I've read the Gnostic Gospels myself. I haven't seen any evidence in there for it. I guess I just say I just don't believe it would be the best way to sort of put it over, really. I don't know if that contradicts your view on it, but...
Alrighty. If you have questions or comments, you may call 800-313-9443. We've had very interesting discussion thus far. Can we address just briefly the protocols? So we kind of go back to where we began.
Yeah.
And how they play into some of these things that you've been discussing today.
Well, okay. We talked about the East, didn't we? We talked about how the protocols mention how the Jews will take control of the East and how they will rule that way. There's two philosophers, of course, of Zionism. There's two big ones. There's Moses Hess and Herzl. Now Hess says, and I'll quote him here for you in his Roman Jerusalem. You will become the moral stay of the East. You will have written the Book of Books. Become then the educators of the wild Arabian hordes and the African peoples. Let the ancient wisdom of the East, the revelations of the Zend, the Vedas, as well as the more modern Quran and Gospels, group themselves around your Bible. They will become purified from any superstition, from every superstition, and all will proclaim, all alike, the principles of freedom, humanity, peace, and unity. You are the triumphal arch of the future historical epoch, under which the great covenant of humanity will be written and sealed in your presence as the witnesses of the past and future. Now, that passage from Moses Hess's Roman Jerusalem was written in the 1860s. However, compare that to what the protocols have to say on the matter of religion, and it becomes fairly damning in many respects, because the protocols talk about how the Jews need to dominate religion, and how, in what was it, the words of the protocols, Protocol 1, they will rule with liberty, equality, and fraternity, but they will use these to unite people under their rule so that they can then do what they like with them. And also we find in the protocols numerous instances of, you know, the power of, you know, the idea that they're going to suppress all other religions unless that religion can be made into a pro-Jewish one, and they're particularly going to target Christianity. Of course, that's was in the context of the Zionist origin of the protocols, that the main competitor was Christianity. There was very little other religion in Russia other than various forms of Christianity and Judaism, with some slight Islamic elements in the south of the country. And you also find, I mean, we talked about, about how the Jews have got involved in the various industries and what have you. And again, you find in the protocols, in Protocol 6, you find the quote that by which is to provide a counterpoise to industry. The absence of speculative industry will multiply capital in private hands and will serve to restore agriculture by freeing the land and the indebtedness to the land banks. And we talked about that in the last, show, we talked about how the Jews have historically been both big powers in high finance in the medieval world as well as to the present day, as well as local finance. So they are the you kind of have your Hofjuden, your court Jews, and you have your the local Jews, the sort of the village or the Bergjuden, as they're sometimes called, the people who would. You would go to for a loan, but while you had someone, the Rothschilds, you would have, I don't know, the Goldbergs up the street who would give you $5 if you needed it, kind of thing, but then charge you 10 to sort of square the loan away. Mm-hmm. And then you get this, again, this idea of using speculative economy in Herzl's the Judenstaat, when he says through the big banks the acquired sum could be raised by the shortest possible time among the large financial groups after they had discussed the advisability of the course. He talks in depth then about a financial program, how he's going to finance what he calls the Jewish company and the Jewish society, which are mutually dependent entities. One acts as a kind of front for the other, and the Jewish society is like a Zionist elite, which will dictate to the media, to academia. He talks about how the Jews will infiltrate the sciences, and they will rule the sciences and the studies. Because remember, at the time that it was written, science referred to historical science, sociological science, psychological science, as well as biology, chemistry, and what have you.
And that has certainly come to pass.
Certainly,
absolutely.
I mean, you can't get away from that, really.
Right. Okay, we do have some other callers on the line. Let's take John in Pennsylvania.
Hello, John.
John?
Hopefully I can make this clear, but in the context of the Old Testament, where the Jews are supposedly the chosen people, and they use this whole idea as the reason for them to be in Israel... Well,
yeah.
My take on that has always been that part of the Bible was speaking to tribes, and I would imagine that a lot of the people living in Israel right now have no direct link to those tribes, so it's kind of a false taking under the auspices of a Zionist manifesto. Am I correct in that argument, or off base?
You're kind of both, in a sense. It sounds weird, but I'll explain. Genetically, Jews, both Ashkenazim, Sephardim, and Mizrahim are the same, are roughly as genetic. They are what's been called genetic cousins to the Palestinian people, to the Arabs in general. But they have been out of Palestine for hundreds upon hundreds of years. They haven't really gone back there. It's only recently they've turned up, and it's kind of a false idea that they have a chance to rule there. So you're wrong in the sense that they do have a genetic sort of connection to the area. But if we look at, say, the sources in addition to the Old Testament, we look at the Old Testament, we see that the Jews were in fact not the first people to come to their land. Because Moses was ethnic cleansing people all the way from Sinai to Palestine. I mean, you had the famous battles with the Canaanites, the Amalekites, and so forth. And the fact that Yahweh is originally a Canaanite god, not something unique to the Jews. He's actually the Canaanite father of heaven, and that you find in Judaism, you find the what we call the Shekinah, which is a syncretization of two Canaanite goddesses, Asela and Astarte, it's kind of suggests that the Jews are, for lack of a better term, they're not linked to the land, but they have been there historically, and that they've taken on the personality of the people who were there. And the fact that Herodotus, and Herodotus doesn't mention the Jews at all. It's a myth that he does. He actually says Syrians of Palestine. Syrians in Palestine would be his actual term. And Jews have interpreted that to mean Jews. It doesn't, because Herodotus actually mentions them worshipping Aphrodite. He doesn't say anything about a weird religious cult that monotheism would have been.
Oh, all right.
You're both right and wrong.
Okay. I do have one more question.
Well, John, we do have to go to a break. You can stay over. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com, and he has a multitude of articles there. I encourage everyone to go there and read some of these articles. They are fabulous. John, you had another question, and we do have somebody else on the line, so quick with your question.
I'll make it quick. See, this whole thing of the Chosen really confuses me, because like Madonna, she decided to become Jewish. Is all of a sudden she one of the chosen people spoken in the Bible?
Was I? No, she couldn't become citizen people, because the Talmud actually says quite explicitly, a proselyte shall not become part of our nation. They're an affiliation of Israel. They're not part of Israel, they're an affiliation. They're not, Jesus had himself chosen. They decided that they were God's chosen people. There's nothing external about it.
Okay. That's a big confusion. The Christian, Jesus believing churches, some of them are confused on the issue.
Oh, alrighty. Yes, very much so.
Thank you, John. All righty, let's quick check Lark in Texas. Lark, welcome to the program. Lark, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yes, okay.
Okay, for the benefit of your listeners, I'll be brief. I just wanted to spell out the word Melungian, Melungeon. And yes, Melungeon is an important word to understanding really American history that I've learned. Now, my question for you, Carl, is what comments would you like or would you have regarding Aristotle Onassis? I think Aristotle Onassis is very much behind this merger of the Mormons and the Jews in America, particularly through Las Vegas and Howard Hughes. And you know, it must be understood that the Melungeons were an identified group even before Plymouth Rock in this country.
Mm-hmm.
But my final thought is, and I welcome yours, is I actually think that it is descendants of the Onassis group that was behind the assassination of JFK that's still in charge of America today.
Okay, well, I would dispute that on the grounds that a lot of the people who are powerful in the U.S. today are not Sephardim, they are Ashkenazim. They are a very different group, but at the same time actually derived from Sephardim, commonly not known, but we have recently been established that the Ashkenazim do in fact come from the Sephardim, as the Ashkenazim date from Italy and Spain in about the 11th century, it's been dated anyway, by Michael Tock, among others, in his one of his German articles on the subject. See,
Do you think Onassis was Jewish?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about the man to really make a. Do you know of any information? Do you know of any any evidence that he might have been?
Well, I've actually run across quite a bit. There's not enough time to really put forward anything. I'm hardly an expert, but I do really see a connection between the Mormons, the Jews, and the Melungeons, and in particular mm-hmm. with Onassis as it relates to modern times, because Onassis, interestingly enough, married JFK's widow.
Interesting.
All righty, that was very interesting. Thank you, Lark, for the phone call. And thank you so much, Carl, for being on the program today. I really appreciate all of the information that you have shared with the listeners.
That's fine. Happy to be here, as always.
All righty. Thanks, Carl. And listeners, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.